You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Vancouverites love the games, reads the headline in a recent article in the Vancouver Sun. It's hardly a surprising headline given the newspaper's status as an official Olympic sponsor. While mainstream media outlets drum up Olympic fervor, it's left to the independent media to present a more grassroots perspective. The Vancouver Media Co-op has been at the center of much of the reporting of people's discontent around the Olympic Games, and joining me in the studio this morning to discuss some of that reporting is a member of the Vancouver Media Co-op, Isaac Uman. Welcome, Isaac.
Hi there. Thank you very much for having me, Jane.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, what's your role been at the Media Co-op?
My role started somewhat in July of last year. The Media Co-op around that time, it was in a very set up admin stage of things. But as things rolled around, and particularly as the Olympics came by, my role has switched to being as much of a journalist as possible, particularly when it comes to print.
What have you been doing?
We were, during the Olympics, putting out a broadsheet called the Balaclava, which was a summary of the daily events, particularly through the weekend, just before and just after as well. And so I helped write a few articles for that. As well, we've decided fairly recently to have teams of people out there. So one camera person, one still camera person, and one writer, which really helps get that kind of all-around perspective, which also means that one person has to be assisting the camera person and doing a bit of running as well. So I'm involved in that. Well.
So there must be a lot of people down at the Media Co-op, because there's certainly been a lot of stuff going on to cover. About how many people do you think are involved at this point?
Oh, at this point, with all the media coming in from North America, from all over, right? It was at one point, I noticed 30 people in our little room.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really something.
And so have you been going out and doing this kind of independent journalism every day?
Every day, yes. It started, I believe, around Thursday before the weekend. Wednesday before the weekend, and going right through, and it's ongoing at this point.
Okay. Yeah. What you've been covering a lot of the protests, then. What has struck you about them?
The protest, one of the things that really made an impact on me is the diversity of people that are there. So often in the media, in the mainstream media, you get this idea of these atypical protesters that do nothing but protest. But especially during the Take Back Our City rally and festival on Friday, you saw just thousands of people out there from all walks of life, all over the city, families, and as well as, you know, even business people and things of that. So it's been that. It's that diversity of people that I've really noticed. Yeah.
What are the main kinds of issues that the Media Co-op have been raising that haven't been getting into the mainstream?
The Media Co-op, I think we've been concentrating largely on what the view is from the street. So often you'll notice in the mainstream coverage of the games with a quick 30-second clip at the end saying, oh, and by the way, there's a protest about this game or this particular aspect that's being shown to you. Whereas we go right on the streets and show every angle of the neighborhoods, of the communities that are affected, without getting into the hurrah, hurrah aspect of things, which is already incredibly covered by mainstream.
I think they got that covered.
Yes, very much so.
So you're dealing with issues like talking about homelessness, talking about poverty, that kind of thing?
Exactly. And we've been covering the protests as well regarding those tent city, things like that. Yes.
So let's take the tent city as an example, because that is an issue that has been in the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And then also the Media Co-op has been covering it. Mm-hmm. How would your coverage be different of that? Event.
Our coverage would be different in the sense specific to Tent City, we are welcome there. Largely because the community knows that we will give their perspective of things and balance it out without doing what the mainstream does. So ours will be far, our coverage is always of things like this, far more in depth and far more rounded and far broader as well.
So you find that people will talk to you about different kinds of things then?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, any person generally can go and get an interview from the RCMP on whatever, but to get a protester, demonstrator, or anyone who's an activist here in the community to talk to you frankly about something, it requires being able to be from that community. And that's one of the main things about the Media Co-op, is that we're from this community. We're from the grassroots. We call ourselves unembedded journalists because of the fact that we know where everyone is coming from.
Okay. Right? And then your coverage has been picked up by other media organizations, I understand.
Yes. Democracy Now! Picked up two of our stories and ran two of them. Crime Think as well has picked up what we've done, and just a myriad of different independent media outlets have been linking to us, which has been great. It's really shown the power of independent media, the massive amount of people that are switching to independent media, which is, you know, why we got into this in the first place, is to get more people to see this kind of perspective that doesn't necessarily need to be a big network cable kind of thing. It can be from the streets. Yeah.
So what kind of response has your site been getting? I understand you've been quite busy.
Incredibly so. Starting on Friday, we started getting quite a few hits because we were the primary of the protest, the festival and everything, which is massive, of course, in terms of Vancouver scale, in terms of any scale, really. It was thousands of people. And of course, Saturday, because no one really knew it was going to happen the way it was, and the people that were involved and the way
we're talking here about when
the heart attack.
The heart attack,
yes.
And then people went and broke windows at the bay.
Yeah, things like that. Just generally the heart attack. There wasn't that kind of coverage. So when we covered it the way we covered it, we got a million hits or somewhere around there, enough that it almost took down our servers.
I guess the heart attack was different in that it was independent, autonomous actions that took part throughout the day. So that's what you mean about people didn't know
Exactly what was going to happen. Yes, exactly. The heart attack was just, from everything I'd known, a bunch of people, you know, who were going to walk down the street and protest and maybe stop one of the main arteries going to Whistler. And then, of course, there was all this autonomous action as well, which a lot of people weren't prepared for, but we managed to cover and put out there and say, this is what happened, this is why it happened.
So you got a million hits. You were where people were going to see what was happening.
Yes, it was. And and the cross links. And that's when a lot of the different independent media sites started linking to us as well. It was good.
Great. So now we have a piece of your coverage queued up. Mm-hmm. And I hit my microphone there. Okay. Could you introduce that for us?
Absolutely. This is the weekend update that we did. We've just talked, you and I, about two of the protests that went on over the weekend. The Friday Take Back Our City, the Saturday Heart Attack, as well as the Memorial March on Sunday, which of course was not affiliated in any way with the Olympic protest, as well as a few things on between that were of a smaller scale. And so this weekend update, because of the size of that weekend, the amount of things going on, we put it all together into one update.
Okay, let's listen to that now.
A historic mobilization in Vancouver against the 2010 Winter Olympics has pushed back hard against the International Olympic Committee and the $6 billion sporting event. People of all political persuasions joined together to reject the Olympic industry, holding conferences, marches, and carrying out direct actions aimed at undermining the image of the Olympics. An image, critics say, obscures the negative social and environmental impacts the Games bring with them. The primary slogan of the resistance movement is "No Olympics on Stolen Native Land," referring to the immoral and illegal occupation of indigenous lands by settlers. After years of organizing and mobilization, the anti-Olympics convergence got underway in Vancouver this weekend. Following dozens of protests and disruptions across Canada, the Olympic torch was blocked from passing through Vancouver's downtown east side. Here's Melissa Elliott of Six Nations explaining why they blocked the torch.
With these 2010 Olympics, VanOck and the IOC, in partnership with Canada, is trying to create a false illusion They're creating a false illusion that Canada is good and has positive relations with our people. But we are here to break this illusion, to tell the truth, by declaring the following. We are not Canadian. We are not a defeated people. This land was never surrendered. Our nations and our people still exist and will continue to exist.
No Olympics on stolen Native land!
Next, residents of Commercial Drive, a historically progressive street, showed their collective resistance to the torch and what it represents.
Our streets! Our streets!
The people at Victory Square reportedly chased the torch as it continued to move. It's on its way down Hastings.
Hip-hop artist Testament was present to lend his support.
All right, well, we're here today because there's been a call out by people of this community to stop the torch coming through Commercial Drive. Many of my friends live in the neighborhood, so it's a great place, so we want to avoid having the Olympics come through with their bullshit RBC and their bullshit Coke propaganda. They're bullshit like Canadian flags, and we want to reclaim this neighborhood. So that's what people are doing. We're taking the streets, we're taking this over, we're blocking the torch, and we're gonna stand here, we're gonna stay here, we're gonna like occupy the intersections and force them to reroute it.
Even the disrupted torchbearer, Carrie Soretnik, could empathize with protesters whose cause continued to gain support as the games drew nearer.
I think it's great for people to have free speech, and I saluted some of my friends that are there, but I'm a national team athlete, and I was, and I'm in love with the Olympics, and I think the spirit has really uplifted our country in a better way than just complaining.
The torchbearer was loaded into a police car, a fitting symbol of the $1 billion spent on police, military, and private security during the Olympic Games. Of the day was a family-friendly rally and march titled Take Back Our City, organized by a coalition of groups called the 2010 Welcoming Committee. The evening brought out at least 3,000 protesters representing activists of all stripes, including indigenous sovereigntists and supporters, migrant justice and environmental justice groups, anti-poverty groups, queer rights organizations, and more. Harjab Graywall of the Olympic Resistance Network commented on the success of the mobilization.
We know the Olympics suck. What's more important is this resistance. What's more important is that I'm absolutely ecstatic that all of us today are going to take to the streets and give them a hit like they've never had before. The IOC didn't know what was coming, but we're here now, and that's party.
We're going to take to the streets today. We're going to do this because people said we couldn't do it. People said you couldn't have an amplified voice like this one. People said you couldn't have protest signs like these ones. And people said you couldn't go outside of a designated protest area. Well, the world is my designated protest area.
That was Garth Mullins, an anti-Olympic organizer from Vancouver. As darkness fell, demonstrators marched towards BC Place, where the opening ceremonies for the games were taking place. Saturday morning, anti-capitalist activists took Georgia Street in downtown Vancouver in an action designed to block Olympic traffic from Vancouver to the resort town of Whistler. The action was billed as a heart attack, set to clog the arteries of capitalism. A brass band accompanied marchers who carried banners, shouted slogans, and advanced through the streets of downtown. after blocking the street with dumpsters and paper boxes, a small contingency broke away from the crowd and smashed the windows of the Bay, a company with direct ties to Canada's colonial past and an Olympic sponsor. Longtime Vancouver resident Maxim Winther explains.
If you look at the stores and the industries that had the windows smashed, if you actually look at their history of what they've done, the Hudson's Bay Company, exactly, it was the original government of this land. It was instrumental in bringing smallpox to the local people and, you know, policing the fur trade and, you know, the genocide that happened. Something like 90% of the people that lived here were taken out. And so Hudson's Bay has a hand in that.
Saturday's actions were met with harsh violence coming from police, who beat demonstrators in the street, kettled another group, and arrested 13. On Sunday, an estimated 5,000 people turned out for the 19th annual Women's Memorial March to honor missing and murdered women from Vancouver's downtown east side. This event, led by Indigenous women, was not an Olympic protest, but all activists were invited to stand beside them. More actions are planned for Monday, when homelessness activists will erect a tent city and an anti-war rally will highlight Canada's military presence in Afghanistan.
And of course, those events, the tent village, have already taken place. Now, who was that produced by?
That was produced by one of VMC's finest, Franklin Lopez, and the footage, since it was a video, was an amalgamation of that shot by several of our camera people, including ones from out of town, Victoria, Rochester, and many other places.
So we just had the audio, but if people want to go and see the video, they can see it at mediacoop.ca.
Vancouver.mediacoop.ca.
Okay,
yes.
Vancouver.mediacoop.ca. Thank you so much for coming in, Isaac.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Isaac Ullman. He's from the Vancouver Media Co-op, and you can visit the Media Co-op, as Isaac said, at vancouver.mediacoop.ca, or they have a special an Olympic website at 2010.mediacoop.ca.